In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, down through the beginning to read in the 10th verse, the apostle in writing to the church says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all," in other words, when you've done everything you know how to do, "that you stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." He's beginning to describe this armor of God that we are to put on. "Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, most everybody stops right there when describing the armor of God. But do you notice that even the translators of the King James Bible, translating it out of the Greek into the English, didn't stop there. They put a colon there. And the verse and the passage continues in verse 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." That is as powerful a spiritual weapon as is the Word of God, as is the shield of faith, as is the breastplate of righteousness, as is the helmet of salvation, as is the girdle of truth, and all of those. Praying in the Spirit with all supplication and all manner of prayer in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit. You know, when you're under attack, when you're under satanic attack, when you're under, when you're disappointed, when you're discouraged, when you're depressed, when you don't know what else to do, if you have received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, then pray in tongues. Just pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Ghost makes intercession for us according to the perfect will of God, according to Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. And so if you pray in the Holy Ghost, if you pray in other tongues, then by all means use it when you're in a spiritual battle. It's one of your spiritual weapons. It's an offensive weapon. It's something you can use that you can drive off the works of the devil, the works of the enemy. And if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and don't pray in other tongues and don't speak in other tongues, then bless God, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Just go on and do it. "Yeah, but my mom and daddy don't understand it." They're not supposed to understand it. It's God that's supposed to understand it. You see, when you're praying in tongues, you're not praying to your mom and daddy. You're praying to God. He's the one that understands it. "Well, I don't know if it's for me or not." Are you a child of God? Do you belong to God through Jesus Christ? If you're born again, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, the baptism in the Holy Spirit belongs to you. Let me show you. Turn over to Acts, the second chapter. Gail, I believe we're going to go a different direction this morning. You'll have to get your answer at another time. I'll give it to you after the service if you want. It just looks like we're going a different way this morning. Acts, the second chapter. But you can get something here this morning, too. So don't think you'll be left out. Acts chapter number 2. This whole second chapter is describing the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost on first 120 that were gathered together, waiting for the promise. And then it was poured out on 3,000 who received Christ. In the 37th verse, Peter is preaching this tremendous message on the day of Pentecost. And he has just proclaimed that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That's in the 17th verse. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And he's preaching about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's preaching about Jesus Christ crucified, risen again from the dead. And as he is preaching, in verse 37, the scripture records, "Now when they heard this," that is Peter preaching, "they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent." That's step number one. Repent. Turn away from sin. Just turn away from it. "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." That's the new birth. Be born again. Get your sins forgiven. Get them washed away. Receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Get a new life. "And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise," which promise? The gift of the Holy Ghost. "This promise is unto you," that is those of you that are standing here in Jerusalem today listening to me, "and to your children," even the ones that are not here listening, the ones that are as yet unborn, is to your children, "and it's to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, are you called by God? Are you called as His son or as His daughter? Have you been born again? Have you received Jesus Christ into your heart and made Him the Lord of your life? Has God called you in that way? Then if you've been called by God and have become a child of God, this promise is for you. It belongs to you. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the ladies. It's not just for the elders. It's just not for the old folks. It's for everybody who is a child of God. Every person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of his soul is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But you say, "But I received the Holy Ghost when I was born again." That's true, you did. But he didn't get all of you. When you were born again, if you were truly born again, you did receive the Holy Spirit, because you must be born of the Spirit in order to be born again. But the Bible says that there is a further work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. It's one thing to be born again of the Spirit and to have your ticket to heaven, but it's something else to be filled with the fullness of the Holy Ghost to live the Christian life here and now. Jesus told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, he said they were born again. They were his followers. They were saved. They loved Jesus. But he told them in the fourth verse of Acts chapter 1, "Being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence." Now, they didn't understand what that meant, to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He said, "I don't want you to leave Jerusalem until you receive this second work of the Holy Spirit, because you're not ready to do what I want you to do until you have been filled with the Holy Ghost." They said, "Well, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time?" They missed the whole thing. Jesus said in the eighth verse, he said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." And in so saying, Jesus was saying, look, if you want to let my light shine in you, if you really want other people to see Jesus in you, if you really want to be a witness unto me, if you really want to show forth the life and the love and the power that's in me, if you want to show that forth, then you go to Jerusalem and you wait there until the Holy Spirit has come upon you in His fullness, until you receive all that I have for you, and then you can be effectual witnesses to me. You'll have power. You'll have ability that you didn't have through the new birth. What did they do? They did exactly as the Lord commanded them, and in the second chapter of Acts, we find the disciples in Jerusalem waiting for the promise of the Father, and it's 10 days later. When the day of Pentecost, verse number one, was fully come, a special feast of the Jews, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all 120 of them, not just the women, not just the 11 disciples, not just the extra special ones, not the old decrepit ones that couldn't look after themselves, but all 120 of them, the young men, the young women, the old women, the strong, the weak, every single one of them, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know what they did when they were filled with the Holy Ghost? They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Oh my goodness, I'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, but I don't want that tongues business. It's too strange. Yes, you can believe it's strange. But it's not strange to God, because His gift. It's strange to the rest of the world, but God said He chose the foolish things of the world or the strange things of the world in order to confound the wise. I heard Jesus say out of the pages of this book that unless a man become like a little child, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He can't see the kingdom of God. Yes, it is true that our God wants all of His children to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us are to have rivers of the Spirit of God flowing out of our innermost being. And this is what Jesus was talking about in John the 7th chapter. If you'll turn over there with me and see some of these verses that are perhaps familiar. John chapter 7. Jesus had gone to Jerusalem for the feast. Feast of Tabernacles. And in verse 37, He's there in the last day. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, now, how many of you have been with us in the Wednesday night study on the Feast of Israel? This will be meaningful to you. You remember last week we studied the Feast of Tabernacles, and it was the Feast of Rest, the Feast of God's Rest. If you can get the picture, here are all the Jews in Jerusalem celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus, on the last day of the feast, He says, He stood up and He cried. Now, it doesn't mean tears, but He cried out loud. And He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. If any man truly wants rest, let him come unto Me and I'll give him the perfect rest. If any man truly wants to observe this Feast of Tabernacles in its fullness, come unto Me and I'll fill him with the Holy Ghost, and then he'll have rest, for this is the rest. This is the refreshing. Come unto Me and drink, He said. That's what all this is about. Come unto Me and take a drink of the living water, and you'll have rest. He that believeth on Me. Can you hear Jesus in the court of the temple shouting out like that? Is it any wonder they wanted to kill Him? They wanted to crucify Him. It wasn't many days later that they did kill Him. Is it any wonder that when you start speaking in tongues, everybody thinks you've gone wacky? Jesus said, no servant is above his master. If they hated Me, they'll hate you too. Who are you trying to please? You trying to please God, or are you trying to please man? Whose praise and whose blessing do you want? Do you want your neighbor's blessing or do you want God's blessing? Jesus said, he that believeth on Me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, if you believe on Me, as the Scripture said, not as man said, but as the Scripture said, out of your innermost being, down in your gut, will flow rivers of living water. Now, what's he talking about? But this spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus hadn't raised from the dead. You remember he said, it's good that I go away, because if I go away, I'll send the Comforter to you. That's what he's talking about. He said, when I go away and ascend to my Father, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to be resurrected, and then I'm going to go to my Father. When I get there, I'm going to send my Spirit back. And when my Spirit can't do this to you just yet, but after I'm gone, I'll send my Spirit. And he'll fill you, and out of your innermost being, way down deep on the inside of you, will flow rivers of living water, rivers of the Holy Spirit, rivers of joy, rivers of love, rivers of power, rivers of the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's talking about is tongues. When your belly, let me ask you a question. Those of you, when you get something out of your belly, where's it come? If something is in your belly and comes out, where's it come out? Did it come out your ear? Does it come out the end of your finger? Does it come out your eyes? Comes out your mouth. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So where would you expect it to flow out of? Flow out of your mouth. What do you call the outflow of the Holy Spirit when it flows out of your mouth? What do you call that? Praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues. That's what the Bible calls it. Surely you can see that. Can't you? It's pretty simple. It's pretty direct. Yeah. All right. Jesus said, he that believes on me, not the old ladies, not the old men, not the little children, not the heathen that don't know any better, but every person who believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This second work of the Holy Ghost is for every believer. I don't care whether you're 3 years old or whether you're 83 years old. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are entitled to have the Spirit of God flowing out of you in rivers of living water. God wants each and every one. I know that it's not popular in traditional circles to say this. Some of our denominational brethren have even come so far as to acknowledge that tongues is real. Some even say that it's for today, for a few. But God doesn't give that gift to everybody. No, he doesn't give it to everybody, nor does he give salvation to everybody. But it's available to everybody who wants it. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Now, God didn't force you to get saved, and he won't force you to get filled with the Holy Ghost either. He won't force you to speak in tongues, but he will give you the capacity to do so in the same way that he gave you salvation when you received it. He'll give you the fullness of the Holy Ghost when you receive it, and he'll give you the supernatural ability to speak in other tongues when you receive it. He won't force you to, but if you'll ask him, he'll give it to you. You want to know how I can say that with such confidence? Because God said it. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God? You believe when Jesus spoke, he spoke the Word of God?
Amen.
Well, let's read some of it in Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 9. These are the words of Jesus. I say, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, does your Bible say everyone? All your Bible say everyone? Doesn't say just a few, does it? Everyone. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Yeah, but that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost, Pastor. That means, you know, like food when you're about to starve to death, or a place to live, you know, if you're being thrown out of your apartment. Does it? Let's see. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? That's a snake. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil or natural sinful men, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oops, the Holy Spirit. To them that ask him. Now, to them that ask him, would I be destroying the context if I said to everyone that asked him? Or is that what that passage of Scripture means? Everyone that asks. Now, some of you perhaps are waiting for God to rain down the Holy Spirit on you. Yes, I'm ready. As soon as God's ready for me, He'll give it to me. Well, I tell you, you'll go to your grave without it. You sure will. You'll go to your grave without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You can't get it by waiting for God. God's waiting for you. In the same way that you can't get saved by waiting for God, He's waiting for you. Every place in the Word of God, every place where the Holy Spirit was poured out, it was poured out on all of those who were receptive for it, who were asking for it, who were believing for it. And do you know how they received it? Look at Acts chapter 10. Oh, I know you may have heard that when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll love more. Yeah, you will. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the sign of that infilling is greater joy. Yes, you'll have that. Yes, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the sign of that is more peace. Yes, you'll have that. But I tell you, there's one scriptural evidence for the infilling of the Holy Spirit that you'll know that you've been filled. For after all, how much love do you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost? How much joy would you have in order to measure high enough on your Richter scale that you know you received the Holy Ghost? How much peace would you have to have in order for you to be able to measure the fact that you are now filled with the Holy Ghost? None of those things are the sign or the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But there is one very clear, very definite evidence given in God's Word for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of it, of the Spirit of God. Verse number 44 in Acts chapter 10, Peter is at Cornelius' house. Cornelius is a Roman soldier, a Gentile. And Peter is at his house preaching the Word of God to him. You'll remember the story. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all. There's that word all again. Fell on all them which heard the Word. Not only Cornelius, but his whole family and his servants and everybody that was in the house. As they were hearing the Word, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them. And they of the circumcision, in other words, the Jews, which believed, they the ones came with Peter, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the holy gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, how did they know that the Holy Ghost was poured out on them? Did their eyes get big and glassy looking? Did they just start loving one another? Did they start clapping their hands? Did this just wave of peace come upon them? How did they know the Holy Ghost fell upon them? Why were they so astonished? You can read it same as I do. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how the Holy Ghost lets you know He's called. That is the calling card of the Holy Spirit when He baptizes you. You will speak in other tongues. It's the same way there. It was also in Acts 8. It was in Acts 2. It's in Acts 19. It's in Acts 29. It's in Acts 30. It's in Acts 31. It's in Acts 32. And you say, Pastor, Acts stops with verse 29, 28, or chapter, that's true. But you know, we're living in Acts, what, 2000 and something or whatever? We're living in the book of Acts. You know that, don't you? This is the day of the Acts of the Holy Spirit of God. We're living in the Acts. They stopped it at the 28th chapter, but that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit stopped acting. They just stopped recording it then. And the same thing is happening today. At Cornelius' house and at Samaria and at Ephesus and at Water of Life and at your house and wherever else people's hearts are open to God, wherever else people are hungry for God and want those rivers of living water just spilling out from the inside of them. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity here in just a moment. For those of you who do not have intended to do this, I know God wants to minister to somebody this morning, some perhaps several or a bunch of you. I don't know how many of you there are. But there's at least one. I know that. Because I had not intended to minister along these lines this morning. I had something else completely different I was going to answer. And it had nothing to do with this. So I know that there's at least one of you here. I would surmise that there's more than one who needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And today, you've had some answers given to you that perhaps you never had before. And today, faith is rising up in your heart, and you're saying, well, I don't understand it all, but I know God wants to give it to me, and I know He's a good and He's a loving God, and I want to receive it. And so I'm going to ask Him for it. The Bible says, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And so I'm going to ask, and I'm just going to believe God to give it to me, that I can receive. Now I want you to close your eyes, everybody that's in the church this morning.